fest. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around.
Io's house in the middle of our street. Io's house.
Isle's House off-season edition. Before we get into our rundown here, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Subscribe. We're on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button. We're on iTunes and Spotify as well. We're probably everywhere you get your podcasts, Amazon, you know, whatever else. Subscribe to the Patreon. See that link down below? Patreon.com/Isle's House. Subscribe to the Patreon. You get extra content monthly, access to the podcast Discord, access to the insider channel with news, insights that you won't get anywhere else. Fellas, we're back and we got a few topics to talk about. How is everyone?
We're good. Other than wanting to be hung in the streets of Montreal, we are just fine.
You know, Jack, you're not the first and you won't be the last. So
and the player that's being discussed might be the next, to be quite honest. We'll see.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. You may have
long. I don't just off playing style, right? But
you're gonna have some company soon, Jack. You're gonna have some company soon. Wear it as a badge of pride, I suppose. If you don't have haters, you're doing something wrong.
Agreed.
The entire city hates you. All right. So first up on the docket, Jack with the rundown. Isle's stock. Who's bouncing and who's regressing? Jack, would you like to start?
Let's start with the bouncing back. So my candidate is pretty much everybody's done with this guy in the fan base, but I think that he's kind of been thrown into some ridiculously tough situations over the last few years, especially last year, playing third line minutes most of the season just because of injuries. So by the end, him, Pierre Engvall, and Hudson Fashing were one of the more effective Islanders lines. And yeah, like that's kind of painful to say. I'll admit that, just that they were the most effective. So I'm going to go with Casey Cizikas here, and it's really because it's not going to be the choice everybody has, so we don't want to bore you here in the middle of August. You know, this Heinemann guy, all we see is that he's really physical, he plays with a lot of motor, and then he's also probably going to be next to my guy Siplikov to start the year. And when you take that and compare it to Hudson Fashing, Kyle MacLean, Mark Gatcombe, I just have to think better things are about to come for this player. And it might be being carried by a couple of wingers, but I think at this point in his career, we'd all sign up for that. And yeah, I think that also the penalty kill, if he's a part of it, it will improve, because how can it not? It was so bad last year. Maybe they don't even put him on it to make his life a little easier, but that's my bounce back candidate.
All right, I'm going to let Rocco go next because I don't think he's going to pick the same guy as me.
I don't think so either, but I was honestly going to say it's kind of a weird one because maybe it's a little unfair, but just due to health, I'm going to say Barzal. Full season of health. Thinking slash hoping he goes back to the center position, I feel like that's what we're hearing and what may happen. I think that'll do him some good. And just better forwards around him. I'd like to see a season where he gets to, or maybe even eclipses, 80 points here. And I think we all know he's capable of such things. It's just that nothing has ever fully come together. It's either the Trot system or injuries or this or that. So I'm banking on a full season of health for Barzal and a nice bounce back, playing a large number of games, putting up a good amount of points, and leading this team and being their star player.
Before Ethan goes, If it was available, or if I was able to, I would probably bet thousands of dollars that Ethan's about to pick Anthony Duclair.
Got it.
Jack, cash your ticket.
Let's go.
It's Anthony Duclair. I think, quite frankly, this is an easy pick. Not really a chalk pick like Barzal. But I think like a lot of people are going to try answering this question as they listen along, pick their guys, who they are. And I think that they're going to pick a lot of guys who I would identify as their batteries run out. The talent's gone. They're too old. Injuries have taken their toll. And as it pertains to Duclair, he started the year. He was on the top line. They look good. He was on the power play. He looked good. We've seen throughout the course of his career, notably on some of the Florida teams that he played on, the Panthers and the Lightning, when he is saddled with talent, the guy produces. He's not a passenger. He's always getting into the mix. And we were sort of robbed of that early on with the groin injury and then the tiff with Patrick Waugh. And I think that if you just sort of forget about how the season ended, he's here because of Patrick Waugh and the familiarity that they had in juniors. It was something that was cited immediately after he signed with the Islanders. And it was not only apparent to anyone with a set of eyes, but confirmed through comments from him and Patrick Waugh, he was never 100% after he came back from the groin injury. A tricky one to come back from. I don't know why he even bothered to come back at all. I know mathematically the Islanders were in it pretty late until they weren't, but again, you have a set of eyes. It was obvious the team was not competitive, was not going anywhere. He should have just sat until he was fully healthy. Now, what we've seen and heard is that he's going to have to work his way back into the top six if he can even get there. It's a crowded forward group. We have an early indication of what the lines are going to look like, but we don't know for sure. I think that if he's a guy who can come back, his speed is there, he comes in with a good attitude, he's fully healthy physically and mentally, that he's a guy that is going to bounce back and a lot of people are going to be like, oh yeah, forgot we signed him. That was cool. So he's my pick for a bounce back. Any comment?
It makes a lot of sense. Like, I also am not – like, I don't hate the fact either that he got roasted at the end of the season and, like, now knows that he better play well or Patrick Waugh is going to freak out. Like, it's just going to always – that's always going to be in his head before he thinks about, like, coasting around for even a shift. So you have to think it's going to get better somehow.
Yeah. All right. Should we do regression?
Who is regressing?
You got
there's a couple of good candidates. There's a few that too like there's some candidates for regression. JG Pageau had a pretty good season last year, all things considered. Anders Lee had a pretty good last season. I'm not going to pick either of those two though. Oh man, my choice is Simon Holmstrom, but it's not from an overall player. It's not like an overall player.
This is a pure hater it's narrative not. Pick. It is.
So
the you only hate reason- how much I love him. You're upset about the fact that the season hasn't even started yet, and I'm going to win our bet. Holmstrom versus Tsipikov. You're upset. So, I get it.
No, I think this is the season where people. I think this is the season where we really find out who Holmstrom is. And I think
we're going to find out he's a stud, but go on.
I think that we're going to find out he's a stud defensively, and his best role on an NHL team is on a third line being, you know, in like more of a shutdown situation. So I think he'll be still very good two ways, but that shooting percentage is going to dip a little bit. It's one of the top ones in the league. He needed all of it just to get to 20 goals. Like, I think Holmstrom's more of a 15-goal guy. He'll score a few nice ones, but I just think the goal scoring is going to come down to earth a little bit because I think last year was a little bit unsustainable. So although I do think he's still a good player without being a 20-goal scorer, that's where I think it dips a little bit.
Interesting. I was very surprised you went with him. You guys might be surprised by mine, too. I'm going to go Palms. Very, very streaky as always, but – another year older, signed that deal. I'm not saying it is the one and only motivation, but no longer playing for a contract. He has his contract signed this and next year. I just worry about him. I mean, I know cap went up, and as other guys got paid, that deal didn't look nearly as bad because there was money flying around all over the NHL this offseason. But how old is he now? 34, 35?
34. He's going to be 35 this season.
Yeah, and it's just that's the age where it could really take a nosedive. And I think he'll still be an effective NHLer. I think we just might see the point totals go down. I think we might see him in a lesser role. Like, I could see him on the third line on this team at times.
That's good.
Yeah, no, it is a good thing. But again, for him, regression. So I'm just going to say Palms, just a bit less numbers. Maybe doesn't hit that 20, 25 goal mark we're accustomed to.
Well, that's a problem. Rocco, I agree with you. I think he is.
I disagree, though.
This we can talk about regression. It. We can, and I'm going to give you my reasoning, and then hopefully when I'm done, you're going to be like, yeah, I guess you're right.
But do you have your own candidate, or you're just going to...
No, Palmieri was my candidate. Palmieri was my candidate.
Kind of going chalk.
Well, you went chalk, so... very obvious regression candidate. A guy who was, I don't want to say totally ineffective, but much less effective once the Islanders traded Brock Nelson. Defensively, the numbers show that he is a black hole, as was Brock. He is 34, will be 35 in season. He played 82 games back-to-back for the first time since he was 24 on the New Jersey Devils. A miraculous feat of health that I would be shocked to see continue. Now, Rocco, you brought up maybe he plays third line minutes. I understand, like, my mentality has to change a little bit, especially with this forward group, because it's not going to be right. It's not going to be like, oh, third line defensive shutdown. Right. Like, no, the Islanders are supposed to be a deep team. But like, what does he bring to this team? It's goal scoring. It's supposed to be goal scoring.
Oh yeah.
And if he regresses in health, he's another year older. He doesn't have the wingman that he's had as an offensive juggernaut the last four seasons, you know, riding shotgun with him. Who's his center going to be? You're going to put him. He's not going to play on the first line. So he's either going to be playing with Barzal, in which, okay, I could see it, or he's going to be playing with Pageau. Like, I see the age, the production once Nelson left towards the end of the season. Sure, I can see a world, Rocco, in which that contract is 2 years. He can't get traded this year unless he waives. I don't like it. I really don't. And it's a very crowded forward group as well. I think the production is going to be spread around a lot. So for him, last year he was 24 and 24. I don't know if I see him matching those numbers.
Yeah, gentlemen, the other thing is the acquisitions in the top six are smallish type guys too that kind of have to play in the top six.
Yeah.
Juan kind of has to play top six. And Shabanov, if he's going to be a big part of this team, is likely in the top six. He's a very small, high skill guy. He's probably not playing a third or fourth line role. So I think that's a big reason why I put Palmieri stock down.
Jack, what you guys are saying makes perfect sense. Like, when Nelson left, he was a shell of himself. That was not surprising. And it's because he needs somebody that's going to facilitate. He needs someone that's going to drive play. There was no play driver with him, Horvat, and Lee. Like, that was a poorly constructed line. And now he actually kind of has to play in the top six. And it's because there's only one other righty in the entire top six, and that's Barzal. Like, I think he's going to be there. And something I like about Palmieri, 17 of his goals last year out of his 24 came at 5-on-5. This isn't a player that's been productive only because of a power play, only because he can skate well. This guy's never been known for his skating. Like, he's a smart player. He knows where to find the spaces. He has a good shot. Like, he's the type of guy that he can't do everything. It's get me the puck and I shoot. Like, that's the only way it's going to work with him. So I think he's going to be set up for a pretty good year. And I know the age probably would tell you different, but he's been healthy over the last few seasons. He's going to have Barzal probably around him. He's going to have that or Horvat with a Drouin on his line, which could really help facilitate the puck. So I'm actually high on Palmieri going into next year.
Okay. Well, we'll find out. Moving on to our next topic here. I hate this one. I really do. And I wish I could choose neither. But which departure will hurt more? Noah Dobson or Brock Nelson?
Man, I hate that I came up with this question.
Yeah, this is your fault.
This is my fault. Put myself in the corner here, Ethan.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, I was like, oh, this would be a good... be a good podcast subject, and suddenly the weekend happens where I'm calling Noah Dobson softer than Charmin, and here we are debating who's the bigger
loss. Let me ask you this, I'm going to ask a question in response to your question. Which departure will hurt more? So both of their departures were trades. Can I factor return into my answer?
I think yes, I'll allow that.
Okay. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first? I feel like you've been thinking about it a lot, but I'm happy to run it.
You got to run it.
All right. I don't really have an answer. I'm just going to talk through it in real time. Little Bill O'Reilly, fuck it, we'll do it live and see where we wind up.
See where we land.
I'm going to start with Nelson. You're vacating 30 goals. In return, you get Cal Ritchie, who you sort of fingers crossed hope that is eventually his replacement, maybe in a couple years. You get the Colorado first. Okay. Good return for an expiring guy who was regressing, 35 years old, whatever. In free agency, you go out there, you get Shabanov, you get Drouin, you get Heinemann. You're not going to be able – this is sort of my argument. I sort of like to moneyball the Nelson situation. You're not going to replace 30 goals like that with one player.
Agreed.
But, like, you try to replace it in the aggregate, which I think that they've done successfully. And then you have Barzal healthy and okay. So, and defensively, as we know, he's not a great center. It's all the goal scoring. It's like the best thing that he brings. 30 goals, 35 goals, 33 goals. We've seen it. The Dobson side, they are super weak on the right-hand side. You have either Tony D or Ryan Pulock as your number one right D. Now, this is sort of where I don't know if I'm going to upset some people or some listeners. You look at the JFresh chart, and it's blue. Doesn't pass the eye test. I'm sorry. I genuinely don't think that they're going to miss him on the defensive side of the puck. Offensively, 170-point season. Okay. Not really a puck mover. And the return was great. I mean, you got Aitchison in the system now. You got Eklund in the system now. You got Heinemann playing this year. Oh, God. I said I was going to talk myself through it, and I really just want to not answer the question. I don't think they're going to miss. Like, I don't think either departure is going to hurt. I really don't.
Just for this season, who do you think? It doesn't have to be down the road. Like,
well, Rocco missed the Rocco's computer froze, and he missed the qualifying question to Jack's question, which was, "Am I allowed to factor in trade return?" Because both of these guys were traded into my answer, and Judge Jack said, "I'll allow it."
Well, I'm not saying even the trade return. I'm just saying, okay, you're going to miss one of Brock or Dobson.
Immediately for just this season, the answer is Dobson.
Oh, really?
But like,
I think opposite. I think.
You missed my whole spiel. So why don't you answer the question and we'll see where we land.
I think for this next upcoming season, you're going to miss Nelson because I think they're going to get into a lot of these battles where they're going to need to score goals. But
they replaced his 30 goals.
With who?
With Drouin and with Shabanov.
Shabanov is a complete unknown. And Drouin.
You think Shabanov is going to score 5 goals?
You think Drouin's going to score 25, 20? Not a sure thing.
You don't think that Shabanov and Drouin are going to combine for 30 goals and a healthy Barzal is going to put that into like 40, 45? What statistic can
those two provide that's like getting on base, man?
Yeah, but then again, we just talked about if Palmieri regresses a bit.
Sure.
There's a lot of goals to replace. So you can't just say flat out.
We're not talking about Palmieri. We're just talking about Brock's 30.
I know. I'm just saying I think Nelson's going to be harder to replace because I think the way this team is built – they're going to need to score goals. And we all know Noah Dobson was not the best guy defensively anyway. So
sure, but my counter-argument to your counter-argument to my counter-argument is a healthy Barzal and a Nelson departure means that Barzal goes back to center. Yeah. So you're now running Horvat Barzal 1C, 2C, which is fantastic. And you're bringing it what Drouin on the low end. Between 10 and 15 goals on the low end.
Yeah.
But a fully healthy Barzal 15 to 20 goals.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you.
Shabanov, you hope 15 to 20.
They're all that much because
I agree. If I could answer this question, I would say no answer.
Neither. Yeah. But I think, again, I'm not great defensively, but just for how he quarterbacks the power play, Tony D for a full season helps. You replace
agreed.
Just yeah. from a, and then you have obviously the wonder kid, Matthew Schaefer, that might help a ton in replacing Dobson as well. You
sure.
can't have crazy expectations for him, but we do expect the kid to put up some points, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many 100%. Points did Dobson have last year? 40?
35.
35? That's it.
He might have had 35 assists, but like 5 goals.
Oh, but he missed some time though, right?
Let's see.
I think he missed a little bit of time. So
he put up 39 points last year in 71 games played. Yeah,
so it's one of those things, like if you take Tony D and Schaefer, they'll come the same argument. They'll combine for that many points.
Touche. Right.
Shabanov and Drouin will for Nelson. So all comes out in the wash type situation, I feel.
That's why I hate this question. The answer is neither.
I say Nelson. Miss Nelson more.
Jack, you haven't answered.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like, Dobson's such a funny one because it's like
– I'm not going to watch this video. Answer honestly.
No, I know. It's funny with Dobson, though, because it's literally just like – it feels like a different generation with this player. Like, all the boomers, any adult I feel like I've spoken to on this subject, they're like, this guy is nothing special. Like, we don't need to pay him $10 million. And then, like, you'll talk to a Gen Zer, and it's like, dude, his chart, it's bright blue. It's insane. And it's
you
like –
You know what, Jack? You know what? When you get to the playoffs, the charts don't matter. You need a little grit. You need a little snarl.
You don't play hockey in Excel.
He doesn't have it.
And that's why I watched him get bullied around.
Maybe something's ignited in Montreal. Maybe that sort of market helps him. Hudson helps him. Maybe. We'll see. But
yeah, the pressure of Montreal, because we know Noah Dobson's known to rise to the occasion. Yeah.
Time will tell with this one, because it's really an unknown. But my instincts definitely point to Dobson. And it's because now I have to watch first pairing Ryan Pulock in 2025 and hope he bounces back. Like, and then you have to hope that Scott Mayfield or who's the second, and Tony D'Angelo, like we got to hope all three of these guys stay healthy, because then it just becomes a major question once you have Boqvist playing defensively every single game. The lack of depth on the side Dobson left is just, it's the most concerning area I have for this team, not only for this season, but in the future. With Nelson, I kind of agree with Ethan. So we trade Nelson, we get Cal Ritchie, Barzal comes back, moves back to center, and they improve the wingers, which should also help increase the center production. And they even added extra depth and are getting Duclair back. So while I will miss Nelson more than Dobson personally, I think the results will probably reflect them missing Dobson more. As soft as he is.
Next topic. It really is August. Who's the next captain of this team? Who wants to go first?
I have a hot take one. So one of you guys go.
Okay, I think the three of us are all going to have different answers.
I don't think so.
Who's your answer, Jack?
Prokhorov. No, I'm kidding. No. My answer is Barzal, and it's just because it's really like a simple answer. Like, that's just who I would choose from the lens that I have, but I understand if the reality, like in the dressing room, I'm not around the team, so I don't know. But I think Barzal is one of those like lead by example kind of guys. Like, he might frustrate fans by the way he's dancing around the zone and not taking shots and like just being called a ballerina at times, but he actually really never takes a shift off. And whenever he's talking to the media in any capacity, like his expectations are always sky high for the team. And he just sounds like a winner. And I think that's someone who I want leading the hockey team, and especially someone homegrown.
Yeah.
All of those factors really stand out to me.
So Jack and I agree. And now I'll turn the floor over to Rocco, who's very obviously going to make the hot take case for Matthew Schaefer.
Yes. But I was shocked neither of you said Horvat. I would put Horvat
before Barzal.
No, Barzal's got the production. He's homegrown. He's on. Honest, he's
Can I be honest for a sec?
No, you're not. Sorry.
I love Barzal. I don't see him as captain, to be honest. I see it more with either. I think when the time comes, it's either going to be if Lee doesn't stay, first of all, because there is a world where Lee just resigns and holds on to the C and that's that. But let's say Lee doesn't resign after this season. I think the world is either it's Horvat or you go a couple years without having a captain like many teams do and you allow Schaefer to grow and he becomes the captain eventually. You know, trying to turn this over from Lou, franchise guy, hopefully potential franchise player. I think if he shows it this year, I could see them taking a couple gap years, not naming a captain, and then him eventually taking over and being the long-term captain. Because when you think about it, whether it's Barzal or Horvat, there's potential that neither of them are captain for all that long. I know neither are that old, but after this season, how many years do they have left? 4 or 5 years on their deals?
Yeah.
Is it more than that?
Barzal has six.
Okay. So, that makes sense too. But I could see them going the long, long-term plan and wanting to wait it out. And then when he turns like 21, going Schaefer.
I don't know if Schaefer's leadership material, Rocco. I don't know if you heard, but he is not inviting 50-year-olds who have lost their parent to meet and greets. So it's kind of a knock on him if you're asking for my honest take, but. Okay.
Come on, Matthew.
Little inside joke.
We can move on. Looking back, Lou's worst move and best move. Yeah. I already know what his best move is.
You say it. You go first.
His best move was his first move. Hiring Barreled Trotz. I think very obviously his best move. Brought respectability to the team. Brought a defensive structure that brought out the absolute best in Pelech, Pulock, helped their goaltending. After losing He Who Shall Not Be Named, still dragging them back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. Unless we forget, Brock Nelson's breakout happened under Barry Trotz as well. So I think quite easily his best move as GM was immediately bringing in Barry Trotz after a tumultuous offseason and bringing stability to this organization.
You know, it would be so funny if like in 3 years we realize his best move was his last one. His last one with Richie trading Nelson. Like that would be crazy.
That would be great.
Caltrice, Richeron.
On Ethan, I agree. Trotz has to be the best.
Chalk pick.
I don't know why, but my head didn't race right to the coaches. So I mean, that's objectively that's the answer.
Well, where was your brain going, Jack?
I was stuck a little bit just because in the first season he was here, he signed a bunch of one-year contracts where literally everything he touched went to gold. Robin Leonard, Valtteri Filppula, like Leo Komarov, all of those guys immediately came in, also trading for Matt Martin. And I think that might actually be the best move.
Underrated one right after that.
Matt Martin, Kunackel.
No, go on. I'm fucked up. It's the next year that I think. Go ahead.
No, I think trading for Matt Martin was probably his most underrated move, and I probably will call it his best, and it's only because if you really look at it, that line, the results that they gave you for those 3 years, including those Eastern Conference Finals runs, like Matt Martin scored a game-winning goal in an Eastern Conference Finals game. Their line from the fancy stats was one of the most impactful lines in the NHL to where they were above the Snake his first season back on the team. They were so good. Casey Cizikas had a 20 goal season. Like I think that was probably the best move where a player actually stayed for a long time. But if you want to get into like the little 1 year contracts,
this is your question and you're not even,
what's the most underrated
best move and a worst move. And let me just add, Jack, if your best move is Matt Martin, you're forgetting the vibes immediately trading for him to rectify the Snake leaving.
Yeah.
Bringing back a fan favorite. It's a great move.
Yeah. I'm thinking
adding in most underrated move, Barley. That was sort of criticized at the time when he first signed Barley.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
That was the most underrated move, Barley signing. And he was good for all four of those years.
Shout out Piero Greco.
Yep. And who, Mitch Korn, right?
Mitch Korn.
Mitch Korn, Piero Greco.
That was a big one, too.
Is Mitch gone?
I don't know.
I think he went with Barry, right?
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah. Greco's here, Mitch is gone.
All right. Worst move. Jack.
You. I think Jack's going chalk.
Well, no, there's just so many bad contracts to pick from.
Jack, I actually have a hot take. I have a hot take that I didn't even realize it until recently. I think exposing Jordan Eberle in the expansion draft was his worst move.
Okay.
I like because that. I think that parlays into a million things happening that should have never happened.
That's like, kind of the beginning of the end, so that's kind of fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when I look back at that entire situation, something he also deserves credit for, and one of his best moves, is turning Anthony Beauvillier into Bo Horvat. This fan base thinks very highly of Anthony Beauvillier, but they don't acknowledge the reality that he actually has had a disappointing career given what he was supposed to be after those playoff runs. His career is a disappointment, and he is kind of a bust at this point, other than showing up in a playoff game every other year. That's how I think of it, and he turned that and Ratu into Bo Horvat. But at the time, going back to it, what Lou did was he sat there, assessed his roster, and Anthony Beauvillier is like 24 years old at the time. Eberle, I think, is 30 or nearing 30. The move is to just you have to invest in the young player at the time. It's objectively the right situation, but looking back at it, it was the wrong move. Like, they were a win-now team. You don't let a proven goal scorer with chemistry in the top six just walk out the door like that.
I'm gonna go with a time frame. Just the summer of 23 was Lou's biggest mistakes.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was Mayfield, Engvall, and Varley, which unfortunately was a four-year deal as well. I remember I was on my honeymoon. I was in Athens when those deals went down, and I was just livid on my honeymoon for like an hour because you can't be that upset in Greece. But I was not happy with those deals.
When I saw
Engvall, seven-year Mayfield, four-year Varley, I think the summer of 23 was Lou's downfall.
I don't know. Like, it's really hard to quantify worst move, but one thing that I feel like hasn't been brought up, and I'll sort of finish where I started, since I started with Barry Trotz, why not finish with Lane Lambert? Making Lane Lambert the coach.
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
So
I'm shocked no one said Taves.
I was thinking about Taves. I didn't want to get into a 30-minute discussion about cap constraints and what else they could have done. It's just there's no point. So yeah. I went with an easy answer in Lambert. All right. Anything else, or should we move on to our last topic?
I think we're ready to go.
I'm glad you didn't say Taze.
Yeah. All right. So let me get rid of this little banner on the bottom. For those who are not subscribed to our YouTube or follow us on Twitter or are not in our Discord, Jack put in hours and hours of work this past weekend doing his own Islanders quarter century team. And if you want to see it, you can go to our YouTube channel. I'm going to pull it up to this podcast. Oh, that's not what I wanted to do. Let's try this. And there it is, Jack's quarter century lineup. I'll leave it up for a couple of minutes, Jack, as you talk through it, maybe talk through some of your on the cusp guys, maybe some guys that were pointed out to you after that you regret, some chalk picks, maybe some upset picks, and then Rocco and I can sort of give our take and name some guys.
So when I was going through it, I really was trying to figure out, okay, who's had the best Islanders careers in terms of like accomplishments while with the team, statistically at the top of everything, and also just obviously like trying to get the absolute best players. And I ran into some really hard ones, like Adrian Acoin. You'll see him as an extra, so this is like a 21-man roster. Acoin I had in originally because he was an NHL All-Star, and I feel like the early 2000s, some of those players are pretty underrated because they never won a playoff series, but they were a pretty good team for a few years, and he gave them solid first pairing minutes. So with the coin, I had to bump him out for Boychuk. I tried to go righty, 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 but I couldn't put a coin there over Mark Streit. So I put Boychuk in just because of the team's success and when he was traded over, the amount of legitimacy him and Letty gave the team and where they ended up with both of them, I just couldn't discount them. So I had to put them both in. Janssen to me is the only one in the entire group actually that has an auto bid. He is the only team Hall of Famer out of all of these guys that's actually in there. So out of respect, I feel like he's just got to be in this. The identity line, it was tough because there's some really just good players like Matt Molson, like Miroslav Shatan. He's probably one of the better UFA signings from the 2000s. This guy, I think, racked up like almost 200 points in three seasons. After that, there was one more, Michael Pekka. I just couldn't keep Pekka in here really because with Pekka, he had three seasons with the team. Yashin had five. Yashin put up more points and was still nearly like, he was still very productive even at the end when he was injured. So he just gave more to the team at the end of the day. Although Pekka might have had a higher peak because of the Selke. So it came down to Pekka or Franz Nielsen, and Nielsen was on the team for a decade, holds a couple records. Yeah, you guys can get going with picking this apart because I feel like I'm redoing my video now.
No, I mean, I don't really have much to pick apart. There were some guys, I forget even who, we were talking about this pre-podcast, and I threw out a few guys that I can't even remember at this point. You know, I didn't even realize you had Molson as an extra when we were discussing this. He was one of the guys who I figured could be in there. Jack, pre-pod, you had also mentioned Drakowski. I had brought up Shatan to you. You touched on him. Rocco, I don't know if you had any guys. You know, I would personally probably put a coin in there over Pulock. I would leave Pelic in there. But that's really about it.
No, yeah, I think you did a really good job on the team. And I think, honestly, any changes would kind of be nitpicking. Maybe like a Shurkowski for Bailey. I know you couldn't do this.
No way. In there. No
well,
way.
Well, guess who was the trivia answer? That was a really good question. And shout out, I believe, who got it? Rob, right?
Yeah. I was surprised at his numbers.
I was trying to think in my head when you put that trivia question out. And I kept going to guys and then I'd say, wait, they won a playoff series, so it can't be them. So really good question. And he did have a very solid Islander career. And I believe he was on the Isles, left for a bit, and then came back from Montreal, I want to say. He got traded back at the draft.
Yeah, so he was there from like the late 90s to 2002. He went to Montreal for 1 year and then came back.
I want to say it was for Mike York in that trade, but I could be wrong.
It could be.
Yeah, Hamerlich's another guy.
Yeah, that was the one.
Ethan and I were young boys during those years, watching Hamerlich, Janssen, Acoin. Really nice decor. Grabbed Yanni Nienema later on, who was pretty solid. So that's a guy. Trent Hunter, we mentioned.
Yeah, that was the one. That was the one I forgot. Trent Hunter.
Trent Hunter has an underrated Islanders career.
Yeah. And he compiled solid numbers as well. Stayed for a while. So, yeah, really good list. And like I said, any changes would just be nitpicking, but just throwing out a couple names that probably were on the right off the extras.
Yeah. All right. Jack, you were going to say something or no?
Yeah, something that like stood out to me while I was doing it, my first memories, I started watching in like 2005 and like my memories of Yashin are like him getting booed by the end of his tenure and then bought out. And I was looking at his point totals and even in seasons where he was injured, this guy like put up 50 points in 58 games. Like as you guys were a little older than me, like why did everybody hate this guy?
I think it was the contract, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think he just had such a big contract and I guess maybe didn't live up to that.
That'll do it.
He was a nice guy too.
Yeah, he was nice. And he wanted to be here, which was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, with his turtleneck.
Yeah, with his turtleneck. He was a really good, talented player. I remember being excited when we got him. Not the best trade, but...
Me and my buddy Andrew got a picture with him at an autograph signing. Super nice guy.
Yeah, he was a cool dude, but
nicer than Jason Blake was, but whatever.
Is he really a dick?
Fucking dick.
Really? It's so crazy.
I remember that there were this, Jack, you're probably too young, but Rocco remembers. Like, they used to, the Coliseum, they would do the autograph signings where, like, each player would, like, or two players.
Section.
And you just walk around, go up to each section. They're sitting there signing autographs. And I remember there was a game, like, Jason Blake was my favorite player because I was like a little midget growing up and I played hockey. I wore 55 because of Jason Blake because we're both short and playing hockey. So I'm like this little kid. I go up with my dad. Islanders had gotten obliterated the night before, like 8-1. I don't even remember who they were playing. It was bad. Go up. All the players, so nice. I'm pretty sure like DiPietro was there, got fucking shelled the night before. Couldn't have been nicer. Bruno, maybe I'm mixing up my autograph signings and my teams. Like, Bruno Gervais gave me his last piece of double bubble. Never forget that. Like, the nicest players. Get to Jason Blake. My dad's like, oh, you know, like, my son wears 55 because of you. He's like, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, some guys, man. I don't know. Well, who actually came into the shop a couple times back in the day? Shatan, really cool guy.
Yeah,
oh, he's a stud.
His son is enormous. His son is like 6'8".
What?
His son is like 6'8".
Yeah, he used to come with him when he was like a little kid, and then I see he gets drafted. I'm like, holy shit, this kid's a monster. A really nice family, Shatan's.
Is Shatan's son like entering the NHL soon?
He got drafted by the Caps, I think.
He was a late pick, though, right? He was like 6 or 7. But the Caps prospect system is unfair.
I know. He's a project prospect, but you never know.
We know that because we want to talk about the Isles House Dynasty draft.
Oh, yeah.
How you feeling, Jack?
I'm feeling pretty good about my team. I mean, did you see the projected points? I'm like projected fourth overall, but there's some question marks. Like, Jason Blake's son is one of my picks, and this guy was on like a really nice contract, and boom, he just gets like a 7-year special from their GM.
Yeah, but it was like $5 million. It was like nothing.
I think it was $7 million, which is like $5 million in the last one.
I don't think he got a 7x7.
No, I think it was $5 million.
Yeah, it was $5 million.
Let me check.
Definitely $5 million.
Oh yeah, it was an 8-year, $45 million contract.
By the way, your dynasty partner randomly DM'd me a weird message and never explained why.
I know. I forgot. What was the meaning of that? I forgot.
What did he say?
He DM'd me out of nowhere. 10:34 a.m. August 11th. I've never talked to him before. I don't know if I've even met him.
You have. Okay. You have met him. It's fucking hilarious.
Why does it smell like Porter Martone? Just send it back a question mark. No answer.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah. All right.
No explanation.
Yeah. So, Rocco and I call us Trader Joe's because we've been wheeling and dealing during the rookie draft. I'm gonna miss because I'm not gonna remember everything. So fill in the blanks, Rocco. Mm-hmm. We traded 10th overall in the rookie draft, prospect draft. I'll say in the prospect draft. We got a 26 first, a 27 first, a 28 first, a fifth this year.
And we moved down to 32.
Something like that. And then we made some more trades. Next year, we basically have 2 firsts, 3 seconds, and then a 27 first, a 28 first. And
we're all unprotected.
All unprotected. And I love our prospect team anyway.
Yeah. So we might get McKenna too.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Trade for McDavid. We got a lot of ammo.
Yeah, we got ammo, but people aren't interested in that. They're interested in Isles House, and I think we could wrap it up.
Well, it is the Isles House Dynasty League after all.
Dynasty League, you're right.
And you know what? You, fellow listener, could have been in it if you were a member of the Patreon.
Shout out Gillette for setting that whole thing up because that was a lot of work, and he killed it.
He's not done. That's the crazy
thing. And he just ended up sending us all his first round picks.
Well, how long have we been drafting for? A month and a half?
I don't know. Feels like years.
It's insane. And we're still not even done yet. So, all right, we'll wrap it up. Thank you for listening. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/Isles House. Follow us on Twitter. Got our handles down below. If you're watching on YouTube, which you should be subscribed to, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep, he can't hang around. Iowa's house.